Title: Folder Structures for Atmospheric Source Material Intermediate. Alright, let's talk about the part of drum and bass that makes a track feel like a place. Atmosphere. Not the big obvious stuff like your break and your reese. I mean the pads, drones, vinyl haze, field recordings, weird little sci-fi tales, tiny impacts, and those almost invisible textures that make a roller feel wide, deep, and expensive without stealing energy from the drums and bass. In this lesson, you're building a folder structure on your drive and a matching workflow inside Ableton Live, specifically for atmospheric source material. The goal is simple. You should be able to find the right texture in seconds, drag it into Live cleanly, know if it's in key or locked to tempo, and turn random ambience into arrangement-ready layers. I'm assuming you already know your way around the Ableton browser, places, and collections, and you're comfortable with basic audio workflow. Let's build the system. First, choose one library root folder and keep it separate. Pick one master folder on a fast drive, SSD if you can. Something like /d/audio/libraries/d/nb/atmos/library. Here's the big rule I want you to follow. One root folder equals one place in Ableton. If you break that rule, you end up with a messy browser, duplicated folders in places, and that weird feeling where you own thousands of files but can't find anything when inspiration hits. And yes, keep Atmos separate from drums and bass. Atmos assets multiply fast. If you mix them into your drums folder, your browsing slows down and your brain starts avoiding the whole library. Now inside that root, we're going to use a simple-to-specific structure that scales. Create these main folders. 00 inbox for unprocessed new stuff. 01 field recordings. 02 textures noise. 03 pads drones. 04 FX one shots. 05 Atmos loops. 06 resampled from projects. 07 racks presets. 99 archive for old and duplicates. This is built for how DNB actually works. In most tracks, atmosphere is either a continuous bed, or it's events like one-shots and transitions, plus loops that glue sections together. And resampling is basically a religion in drum and bass, so we give it a dedicated home so your best accidents don't get buried in random project folders. Next, subfolders by function, not by genre. This is one of the biggest intermediate level upgrades you can make. Genre folders sound logical at first, like jungle, liquid, neuro, but Atmos crosses genres constantly. A rain recording might work in liquid and in techstep. A metallic drone could fit anything. If you sort by genre, you'll second guess where things belong, and you'll stop filing sounds because it feels annoying. Instead, make subfolders that match real arrangement needs. Inside field recordings, create categories like city, nature, indoor, industrial. Inside pads drones, create tonal, atonal, moving, granular. Inside FX one shots, create impacts, risers, downsweeps, stabs, transitions. Notice what's happening. The folders answer what is it and what job does it do. So when you're arranging, you can think, I need pre-drop tension, and you already know where to go. FX risers. Or I need a breakdown bid, and you go to pads and drones, tonal or field recordings, nature, depending on the vibe. Now, here's a coach concept that will save you from building an enormous folder tree that still doesn't help you decide quickly. Treat folders as capture. Treat tags as decision-making. On disk, folders should answer, what is it? Field recording, drone, loop, one shot. Inside Ableton, your collections should answer, when would I use it? Intro haze, pre-drop lift, drop punctuation, break wash. That split keeps the whole system fast and mentally clean. Next, naming conventions. This is where the speed really comes from. Use a format like type, descriptor, he if it's tonal, BPM if it's rhythmic or looped, length if it matters, and optionally source. Examples in real life would sound like drone subpressure FM 170 16 bars resample, field train tunnel atonal 48k, pad glass air M 174 8 bars. FX riser noise long fours, loop vinyl rain 172 8 bars. Two practical rules, only include key if it's clearly tonal, don't guess. Only include BPM if it's looped or rhythmic. A pure ambience bed might not need BPM, but if you consolidated it to 8 bars at 174, then yes, add it, because it will drop into sessions perfectly. And here's another small upgrade that pays off later. Add a context breadcrumb to anything you bounce from a project. So if you resample something, include a little clue like intro bed, break wash, pre-drop lift, drop gap effects. Even add no kick or with drums if you printed it in context. Because months from now, you won't remember what Drone Sewer Hum V03 was for, but you will remember Drone Sewer Hum Breakwash. That makes your resampled folder usable without opening old sessions. Now we need a workflow so the library doesn't rot. This is the inbox to library pipeline, and it should take about 10 minutes per session, or you can do it once a week. Step 1. Dump new audio into 00 inbox. Always. Step 2. Do a quick curation pass. Delete junk. Rename the good stuff. Move it into the right folder. Step 3. If it's really good, save an Ableton device preset or rack that recreates it. This is how your library grows cleanly instead of becoming a landfill of maybe later audio. Before we move on, add one more habit. Quality control. Before anything graduates from inbox into your main library, do a 30-second check. Is there DC offset? If you have a tool for it, fix it. If not, re-render. Are there clicks at the start or end? Add tiny fades. Is it insanely loud compared to everything else? Trim it so previewing doesn't jump scare you. You don't need to crush dynamics. Just aim for sane peaks, like around -6 dBFS peak, so your library behaves consistently. And one more folder that's a secret weapon. Create a favorite safety lane. Inside your root, make 08 favorites locked. This is do not touch. Only proven assets. No experiments. No half-baked prints. When you're on a deadline, this becomes your reliable palette. Alright, now let's make it Ableton native. In Live's browser, add your root folder as a place. Just the root, not 12 different subfolders. Remember, one root equals one place. Now use collections as ZIB tags. These are your when would I use it labels. A suggested set for DDNB, red for dark and industrial, orange for tension and risers, yellow for air and top texture, green for liquid and warm, blue for sci-fi or alien, purple for vintage or vinyl. When you find a killer drone or field clip, right-click it and add it to a collection. Now your library is searchable by folder and by vibe. That combo is fast. Next, we're building an Ableton template with 3 tracks and stock device chain so any raw source becomes mix-ready quickly. Track 1 is your Atmos bed. This is your continuous layer. Make an audio track called Atmos bed. Add this chain. EQ 8 first. High pass it, usually somewhere between 120 and 250 Hz. The exact number depends on how heavy your bass is. If your kick and sub feel sacred, go higher. If the bed is super thin, you can go a bit lower, but in DNB, beds keeping low end is basically a trap. If it feels muddy, dip a little around 250 to 500 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB. If it's hissy, you can gently shelf down above 10K. Then auto filter. Low pass mode, 12 dB slope is a good start. Put the cutoff somewhere around 6 to 12K. And add slow movement. If you use the LFO, think glacial, 0.05 to 0.15 Hz. You want alive, not wobbling. Then hybrid reverb. Hall or shimmer can work, but shimmer is dangerous in heavy DNB because it can turn into a bright wash that fights cymbals and snare crack. Use per delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds so it doesn't blur the transient world. Decay around 2 to 6 seconds. High cut somewhere between 6 and 10K so it stays dark and sits behind the drums. Then utility. Widen but carefully. Somewhere like 120 to 160% can be fine. And turn on bass mono around 120 to 200 Hz to protect the center. Teacher note, if you only remember one mixing principle for Atmos in drum and bass, it's this. Your sub and kick live in the low end and the center. Atmos has to live above them and around them. Track 2 is Ear Candy. This is short textures and movement, the little ghosts between hits. Create an audio track called Ear Candy. Start with EQ 8. High pass higher here, like 200 to 400 Hz. Then grain delay. Focus it in the presence zone, like 1.5 to 4K. Add a bit of random pitch, around 0.10 to 0.30. Time around 10 to 40 milliseconds. Keep dry slash wet modest, 10 to 25%. It should feel like detail, not like the sound is dissolving. Then echo. Try 1/8 or 1/4, and definitely try dotted timing for jungle swing. Filter the echo so it's not throwing low mids everywhere. High pass around 300 Hz, low pass around 7 to 10K. Then an optional compressor if things spike. Ratio around 2 to 1. Fastish attack if it's clicky. Use case here. Tiny vocal ghosts, metal ticks, reversed bits answering the snare, that classic tech step and modern roller detailing. But place it with intention. The goal is to make the groove feel interactive, not busy. Track 3 is risers and impacts for transitions. Create an audio track called risers/impacts. Start with saturator. Soft clip-on for impacts. Drive 2 to 6 dB depending on how aggressive you want it. Then EQ8. High pass around 80 to 150 Hz to prevent low-end boom that would compete with your drop sub. Then glue compressor. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds, release auto. You're looking for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on big hits, just to shape and control. At a limiter only if you need it. Try not to rely on it as the sound design. It's just insurance. Now save these chains properly. Group each chain into an audio effect rack, name it clearly, and save it into your library under 07 Racks presets, inside an Ableton Racks folder, maybe Atmos. Then save a live set template called DNB Atmos template. This is a huge productivity move. It means every project starts with consistent routing and consistent decisions, which is how you get faster and more confident. Now, arrangement strategy. Where does Atmos live in a roller? A reliable map. Intro. Field recording plus a filtered drone. No sub energy. Build. Add ear candy and a razor. Automate the bed filter opening. Drop. Keep the bed subtle. And let ear candy answer the snare gaps. Break. Let atmosphere take over. Wider, more reverb. More obvious movement. Second drop. Bring back a modified bed for freshness. Different texture, or same texture but filtered, or different stereo width. Automation ideas that always work. Auto filter cutoff on the bed opening into drops. Hybrid reverb dry/wet up in breaks, down in drops. Utility width narrower in the drop for punch, wider in breakdowns. And do a drop clarity check. This is a 10-second audit you should do constantly. Solo drums and bass. Confirm punch. Bring in the bed only. If the kick loses focus, raise the high pass or reduce width. Bring in ear candy. If the snare feels smaller, shorten reverb and delay, or notch a little in the 2 to 5K range. Make that a habit and your Atmos will always feel like a professional layer, not a fog. Now let's talk resampling, because this is how you build a signature library. Anytime you make a cool texture, solo it, resample it to a new audio track using resampling as the input, consolidate it to clean lengths and export it into 06 resampled from projects, and then a project named folder, and standardize your bar lengths. Even for non-rhythmic beds, export as 4 bars for quick tryouts, 8 bars for most use, and 16 bars for arrangement ready options. When everything is bar lined, it snaps into your sessions and duplication plus automation becomes effortless. When you name the resample, add key and BPM if relevant, and add that context breadcrumb like intro bed or break wash. This audio version is shortened for playback.